It's here and now. And to introduce our next guest, I want to play a clip from one of my favorite movies, My Cousin Vinny. Joe Pesci, a.k.a. Vinny, is questioning a witness at a trial in Alabama.
How do you cook your grits? You like them regular, creamy, or al dente?
Just regular, I guess.
Regular. Instant grits?
No self-respecting Southerner uses instant grits. I take pride in my grits.
Well, we are joined now by a self-respecting Southerner who is particular about his grits as well. James Villas was the longtime food and wine editor of Town and Country, and he is the author of a new cookbook called Southern Fried. James, welcome.
Glad to be here. Thank you so much, Jared.
Well, how do you like your grits?
You really want to know. And I'm not just doing this because I've done the book. Yeah, I truly prefer my grits fried.
Yeah, well, okay, so then that brings me to what we really need to talk about here, which is I think the word fried is in this book more than any other word. So tell me, you know, I'm a northerner, it looks like that might be unhealthy, and you point out that it is not unhealthy in your view.
It certainly is not. Not if it's done correctly, Jeremy. Any fried food that's not fried less than 260 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, is not going to have one. Not even a teaspoon, you know, of any kind of fat or anything like that. It will not be soggy and greasy and heavy and those things that people associate with fried food. And we Southerners were raised on, you know, how to fry food correctly. And if you fry it correctly, it's not only healthy, but it's a lot of fun. I mean, come on. Let's admit it. There's no food in the world people love better than fried food.
That's probably true. And you point out that one of the utensils that you need in your kitchen, in a good Southern kitchen, is a fire extinguisher.
Yes, but that's with all of cooking. Any kitchen needs a good fire extinguisher. But today, as far as the danger of frying is concerned, you know, again, I was raised as a child, you know, learning how to fry with a good cast iron skillet. But today, with these new little fryers you can buy, they are so fail-proof now and so safe that a baby can use these things.
Hmm. Well, take us back then to your childhood, because you do bring up your mother quite a bit in this book and talk about recipes that were recipes that your mother would use. Tell us about when you were growing up, the kind of food you were having.
Well, Jeremy, I was born and raised in North Carolina, in Charlotte, North Carolina. And as I say, really raised at my mama's knee, and mother was one hell of a cook, particularly a great Southern cook, just a natural cook. And so that influenced me the rest of my life. It's the reason most of my cookbooks do have a Southern accent to them. We actually ended up doing three cookbooks together. Mother just died a couple of years ago at 93. She was going strong, drinking Jack Daniels every day, eating fried chicken, all fried grits, you name it, fried okra. And so it's just in my blood as a Southerner.
What was your favorite thing that your mother would make?
Oh, my Lord, I can't answer that question. I guess, but since you backed me to the wall, her fried okra was not to be believed. Her fried flounder was wonderful. And the thing everybody wants to hear, you know, and know about is fried chicken. And there's no doubt about it, my mother's fried. To this day, I cannot imitate my mother's fried chicken. Hmm. There's something about mother's fried chicken that was just inimitable.
Well, let's talk about fried chicken, because you actually have several different kinds of fried chicken in the book, including two classic kinds. One is deep fried, one is shallow fried. What is the difference in the taste and the texture between deep frying the fried chicken and shallow frying it?
I must say that I do mostly shallow fry myself. I just like it better. If you want a really crispy chicken, first of all, you use self-rising flour to dredge it in. This really gives it a wonderful crispness, and you do deep fry it. You get, as far as the flavor is concerned, there's not that much difference in flavor. I like the shallow frying mainly because if there is any grease absorbed, it is absolutely almost zero. It is never soggy. It's never greasy. Whereas if you deep fry, if you leave that in there too long, first of all, you'll overcook the chicken and you might get some greasiness.
Meanwhile, there are a couple of different regional variations here. You've got in the book Mississippi honey battered fried chicken and Maryland fried chicken with cream gravy. You say Maryland isn't really fried chicken, which I assume our Maryland listeners are not going to be happy to hear.
it's really a mistake to call that Maryland fried chicken. That is the official name. But Maryland fried chicken is a classic dish in itself. And it's always done with a cream gravy. It is glorious. It is not crisp. It is moist. It is delicious. I love it. But again, not crisp like old-fashioned Southern fried chicken is. That other chicken you're talking about, that was a chicken given to me by my friend out here, Craig Claiborne. His mother did that chicken. I'd never had it before in my life, and I tasted it, and I said, it's one of the best things I've ever put in my mouth. So I put that in the book. And there are just so many varieties of fried chicken. It is the great Southern dish, you know, and so few people do it right. And don't get me wrong, Jeremy, not all Southerners cook good fried chicken. And not in the South can you always find good fried chicken. There's a lot of mess in restaurants that you get, which is this soggy stuff, heavy. That's what I'm trying to correct in this book, is to get people to fry chicken at home, show them how easy it is, how safe it is, and how delicious it is.
Do you think Southern food is having an American renaissance right now? A lot of chefs are starting to think of it as fine food.
It's taken over the United States. It's everywhere. Southern food, I did my first book 10 years ago, and you just on Southern foods, you know, and you didn't hear much about it. Today, every chef in America, and even the finest restaurants, not only are they doing Southern food, but they're doing more and more fried food.
What do you think that's about?
I think, first of all, that the least amount of change has taken place, thank God, in the South. A lot of this insanity we're seeing in the country now, in the other regions of the country, you know, simply has not, thank goodness, taken place in the South.
When you say insanity, by the way, you're talking about health food, right? Trying to be healthy.
That's one thing is health food. I don't know much about that. I just don't think about it very much. why do that? I mean, Southerners, somehow we've survived 350 years, you know, eating fried chicken and skillet cornbread and all those other things that are going to cause the downfall of mankind. One thing is Southerners don't eat fried food every single day, which is a misconception people have. And it's just common sense and moderation.
Moderation.
But as far as Southern food itself is concerned, it's because there simply is no other food in this country that has the flavor and taste of Southern food. Whether you're talking about our Brunswick stew, our fried chicken, I could go on and on and on about, you know, our hush puppies, our grits, our collards, our string beans. We have a whole repertoire that, thank God, is still here.
And, of course, it ends with dessert, which is delicious. I was just in Atlanta and had some Georgia peach cobbler. You, in the book, have Georgia fried spiced peaches. Tell us about those.
That is a classic dish in the South. And people, you talk about simple. A child can prepare those peaches. Southerners have been frying peaches now for centuries. Anything to do with a peach, we fool with.
Well, it all sounds delicious, and the book really does show you in a very easy way how to make all of these things. James Villas is the author of Southern Fried, more than 150 recipes for crab cakes, fried chicken, hush puppies, and more. James Villas, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. It's been a pleasure. You made me hungry.
Me too.
Hope you have some good crab cakes.
And not only will I have some crab cakes, Robin, I might go to hereandnow.org and find the recipe for Carolina okra beignets.
Just know your jeans won't fit so right if you do that.
From NPR and WVUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.